You're listening to KNX In Depth with Mike Simpson. I'm Charles Feldman.
July 20th, 1969, Walter Cronkite with the narration, the play-by-play from the Johnson Space Center in Houston. The first human beings land on the moon.
Contact light. Okay, engine stop. APA at a descent. Auto control, both auto descent, engine command override off. Engine arm off.
We're home.
413 is in.
Man on the moon.
We copy you down, Eagle.
Listen, Tranquility Base here. The Eagle has landed.
Roger, Tranquility. We copy you on the ground. You got a bunch of guys about to turn blue. We're breathing again. Thanks a lot.
Oh, boy.
Thank you.
Tomorrow marks the 50th anniversary of the landing on the moon, and In Depth is taking you behind the scenes of that fateful day with some of the people who helped make it happen. We start with Steve Bales. He was the guidance officer during Apollo 11, tasked with bringing the lunar lander down safely at just 26 years of age. We asked him how his day started on that morning back in 1969.
The day started really early. Our team, our flight director was Gene Kranz, I'm sure you know that, and his background. And his team assembled about 7 in the morning on Sunday. And I have never walked into a room that was so tense in my life, never before, never after. And it got nothing but tenser, as if that's a word. We got more tense as we went along. We worked hard for 8 hours because the landing module was totally powered down when we came on, and it had been for several days, and we had to power it up, get the computers going, get the computer going, get it all aligned, ready to land. A lot of work for all kinds of people. And what would happen is you have contact with the crew for about an hour, and then they go behind the moon for about 30 minutes, and then you can get them in contact again. But even when they were going behind the moon on those first revolutions, we worked harder then even than when they were in front, because we had to get ready to send information to them and work with them for the next revolution. So here we are after about 8 hours, and we're going around now for the very last time behind the moon. And we've done everything that we can do, except when they're going to come around again, in 15 minutes we'll check out the vehicle, and 13 more minutes they're going to be on the ground one way or another. So we're sitting there, and now we're not frantically working like we'd been before. We're waiting. And our age was fairly, I was 26 years old. The fellow next to me was 27. The average age was 28 to 32, I think. And the oldest person in the room was Gene. He was 35, I believe. He knows us really well by now. We've been through a lot of training together. He comes on the loop and says, let's go to this private conference loop. And he says, this is today, we're going to do something that we've been training for years. This is going to be the most important thing we ever do. We're prepared, we're ready, we're a team. But I want you to know this. When we walk out of this room, we walk out as a team. And that's meant to me, I don't care if I'm the one that maybe messes up, doesn't do something right, or if my partner on the next console messes up. He is going to take us out as a team, and there's no finger pointing, and he's going to take responsibility because he's the one that said we were the people to do the job. And you don't know how important that was. That's leadership. Today, people look for reasons somebody else's fault, but he was going to take it on his shoulders, along with us, of course. And that meant the world of difference, meant the difference between worrying about something. I just quit worrying. I just kept thinking about what I was going to have to do, but I quit worrying a little bit. I can't say I didn't quit worrying at all. But just I quit worrying a little bit. I quit worrying a little bit. I start focusing more and more on what we're going to have to do in the next few minutes.
As it turns out, you did have a decision to make when you were really close to landing and you got an alarm. And you were 26 years old, and it was up to you whether to go or abort?
It was. I had help. I had a big one before that even. We were when we get data about 40,000 feet, my job is to check the navigation system on board, and I see we're going toward the moon about 20 feet per second faster than we should be, and if we get up to 35 feet per second, I got to call an abort then. So before the alarms even come up, we're facing that problem. The vehicle pitches over enough that there's a radar on board that can track the surface called landing radar. And it had just about corrected everything. It knew we were going faster. Also, it had corrected that. And I think my big problem today is probably over.
Except it wasn't. We'll get into that coming up. First, John Aaron was an engineer, flight controller throughout Gemini and Apollo. We talked to him, asked him how he was feeling that morning in 1969.
When I pulled into the parking lot to report to work that morning in mission control, my first thoughts were, we have practiced this in a high fidelity simulation with the crew in mission control. We're in that mode to do that. And so all the simulation training that we had, missions that we had performed and segments of that mission we had trained for, you know, as I was walking in the building, I said, you know, this is not just another high-fidelity simulation. This is the real thing. And I really couldn't get that into my mind that it was going to be the real thing. But when I walked in that control center and sat down, it plugged in and pulled up the displays, I sensed it was probably the real thing. Now, I had the best seat in the house. My responsibility was to watch the mother vehicle, the command and service module, circling overhead with Mike Collins as the solo astronaut once they separated. So other than keep track of the command and service module, make sure all those systems were working and ready in case there was abort of the lunar module coming off and coming back up and needing to rendezvous, that we were able to support the rendezvous and pick them up in the worst case.
Did it feel like you were there? I mean, were you almost out of body? Because all of this learning was on the fly, and you were, 26 years old, and you're watching two guys go and land on the moon.
Well, that's exactly right. I kept telling myself it was the real thing, even though it was as they started down toward the surface, it very was much just like the simulation. But once we got into it, I could tell the tension was built up in the room. The tension was built up within me. And, you know, I soon realized that, hey, this is the real attempt. You know, to skip just a little bit forward, when they landed, and everything was settled down, and they made the decision that they were going to go out and walk on the moon earlier than they expected to be per the flight plan. I had a chance to grab a little break. My relief had arrived to the next shift, and I happened to say, I'm going to go out and get a little fresh air, and I walked out in the of the building. And all at once, I just kind of looked up, and I saw that the crescent moon was just over my right shoulder, a little up in the sky. And then I realized, hey, there's two people standing on the moon today. That's when it hit me like a ton of bricks.
More when KNX In Depth continues.